All right, everybody, it is time for another episode of the Crypto 101 podcast. But before we dive in to our awesome, awesome guest and conversation today, I want to remind you guys of two things. And the first one is that if you go to crypto101insider.com, you can join our private community. Here's where we have our model portfolio and all of our top picks. We also have Crypto 101 University, where we have hours and hours and hours of written and video content that explains blockchain and explains cryptocurrency in a very bite-sized and easy to understand way. And we have a weekly newsletter that goes out and quarterly state of crypto addresses that go out. There is just a ton of value packed into this every which way. So I want you guys first to go to crypto101insider.com today, if you haven't already. I also want to remind you guys that Pizza Mind and I recently just finished a book. It took 11 months of our lives to write, and we're calling it Crypto Revolution, Your Guide to the Future of Money. We walk you through this fascinating world of cryptocurrencies and blockchain, and it's part history book, it's part instructional guide, and it's going to really show you guys why cryptocurrencies are globally disruptive and how they're going to actually change in real life and in real terms the way that we buy and sell and even live. We include a bunch of how-tos on getting started with your first exchanges. We give you tips on how to safely buy and sell and store cryptocurrencies, as well as how do we evaluate potentially good cryptocurrencies. And the best part of the book is that we're giving it away for free. All you have to do is pay for shipping and handling. So go to cryptorevolution.com and pick up your copy today. All right, everybody, we are back with another high caliber, action-packed interview. And this is going to be a really fun one. You guys are in for a treat. We are joined today by a former bad guy, a former Deutsche Bank banker, who has recently come over to the light side of the world, Annabelle Huang, who's a partner at Amber Group, a very impressive investment firm who literally has investments from some of the world's biggest crypto funds like Pantera and Polychain and Finbushi and Coinbase Ventures. Who hasn't backed you? Annabelle, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I made a little jab at the beginning. We know you're not a bad guy, right? You're just a smart girl who was working in the investment banking world. But tell us a little bit about the moment you decided and kind of, it's a big moment to jump ship from the traditional world to the finance, right? Traditional finance to the startup world. Tell us about that whole experience.
Yeah, sure. So I guess just a little bit about myself. I was born and raised in China and then went to the States for college. So I studied math and finance at Carnegie Mellon University. And I remember back in college, I already knew about Bitcoin or blockchain through some of my computer science friends. And I was more fascinated by the game theory design and the kind of decentralized economics point of view. I've been really intrigued by it, but never thought I'd pursue a career in crypto back then, my full time. So after graduation, I went to work as an FX structurer on Wall Street. So first at Deutsche Bank and then at Nomura. And that really gave me a really big global platform at a big institution on how macro markets and traditional institutions work. And I'm really grateful for that. But after a couple of years, and it just really hit me that, wow, what is really the growth opportunity for my career? And that was the point where I actually met a few of my CMU alums in New York, and they're building a decentralized peer-to-peer trading platform on Ethereum. And it was part of a consensus cohort, and it's called AirSwap.
Oh, and yeah, they were looking for AirSwap.
Oh, yeah.
I remember, I've known Brock for a long time. And I remember he was an early advisor on AirSwap, and that's awesome because I love AirSwap. tell us about that experience.
Yeah, and then there are a lot of really amazing advisors to the project, and that, you know, really led me to the world of crypto more from a underlying tech perspective, right? You know, building on top of layer one technologies, trying to build a decentralized exchange, a decentralized application on top of it. And you know, Airswap team is really stellar. So, and that really, you know, drove me to leave Wall Street and then to join a part of a team that is building something that's so exciting in a new field. And then to me, I really think fintech is the future. And I think, you know, Ethereum or all these blockchain technology is going to revolutionize traditional finance as we know it. So to me, you know, I just thought that was the perfect segue for me to try something different. And then eventually joined Airswap and moved from New York to Hong Kong to lead the Asia operations for them.
Wow. Yeah. I just imagine like that, that transition just going from like, you know, traditional finance, Wall Street, everybody's all serious. And then you go to like a team like Airswap, they're kicking back. They're like, just, it's a very startup vibe. And, but they're literally shaping the future of, you know, decentralized exchanges, and their request for quote model is really innovative. And it's actually, you know, they, no other like decentralized exchange protocol has similar features. So they've got a really unique, I think, like foothold. And so you've done some great work there, and now you're at Amber Group. And so tell us what Amber Group is. It's an investment firm. It has institutional services. You guys build products. Just give us the whole rundown here.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, back to the story, right? I moved to Hong Kong and then actually met the Amber Group co-founders, Michael and TT, et cetera. And they all have very similar background as I do. I grew up in China, educated in the States, worked on Wall Street, then pivoted to crypto. And we really do have very similar visions for where this industry could grow. And then Amber Group is more of a, compared to Airswap, it's a bigger platform being at the intersection of both CeFi and DeFi. So Amber Group was founded in 2017.
So for some people who don't know what CeFi and DeFi is, there are some new people who might be watching this.
Of course, yeah. So, you know, Airswap is really built upon the idea of decentralized finance, where, you know, it's you trade against each other in a purely decentralized and trustless fashion. But there's also a bigger part of the crypto market that's done in a centralized finance fashion that is more similar to traditional finance, where you have a centralized exchanges that act as kind of like order book matching and clearing settlement for you. So, you know, DeFi is still in its very early days, at least back in 2018. And, you know, the liquidity is and the UI UX is harder to use. So, and that's why, you know, I think a lot of people still came in to crypto through a CeFi route, because that's just easier to understand.
Yeah, it seems really like, and sorry, this is like a tangent. I definitely want to get back to learning about Amber Group, but it does seem like, you know, early 2021 really felt like an inflection point for DeFi. And, you know, obviously represented by the drastic increase in every single usage and adoption metric and all the exchanges going down like every other day because they couldn't handle the users and stuff. But it really does seem like it's now in its usability phase, and like it's really able to scale now. I mean, with different layer two solutions and stuff. So I feel like the market's in a really good spot right now. Like it's very early. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, I was so glad to see, you know, what happened last summer, right? Just with, I think, you know, with liquidity and yield farming, really maybe pushed the market so that, you know, DeFi really found some sort of product market fit and more community mind share. And that's so important. And I think some people might argue that, oh, these liquidity mining programs are not sustainable, but, you know, at least a broad community and all the capital together, right? So for people to participate in it. I think DeFi suffered a little bit from lack of liquidity in the early days because we haven't really found a good model to bootstrap that. And I think Uniswap really it's quite amazing, right? With a really simple design, you know, just a constant formula and like automated market maker model, right? That really, it really worked in this field. So yeah, just really,
and it's just so glad amazing. To see that. Yeah, it's so amazing to see kind of like how you said, Uniswap, it's got the constant. And then there's new protocols like, you know, Perpetual Protocol, who has a non-constant sort of market making feature, which scales a lot better. And you also get, you know, up to being able to have leverage on you know, contracts and stuff. And what they're doing is crazy impressive. But that's a total another sidebar. I would love to know about, you know, like, does Amber Group, you know, make investments in this space? Are you guys just building products, a little bit of both?
Yeah. So I guess back to Amber Group. So we are actually a crypto finance service provider. So more a little bit like a sales and trading or investment banking model back in the days, actually. So, you know, a little bit about Amber Group. We were founded in 2017 in Hong Kong and started more as a prop quant shop, just trading our own capital with our machine learning algorithms, et cetera. And there are just so much arbitrage opportunities within the space. And then we organically grew into servicing a lot of our investors or friends in the industry, just because we have infrastructure and ability to provide good liquidity in a secondary market. So we started doing treasury and asset management and also market making, liquidity provisioning, borrow lending, stuff like that in general. And then, so by 2019, we have really built a very institutional platform that services all kinds of investors in that field. But then we feel like, you know, we shouldn't just stop there, right? Crypto isn't just meant for institutions to participate in. It should be for anyone who's interested in this space.
Oh, absolutely. Right?
We want to democratize finance, right? That is why we're all in this space. So, and that's why we felt the need to digitize and platformize a lot of our offerings and make it into a product, specifically something that's easy to use for a lot more users. And that's why last year in 2020, we built the Amber app, a mobile application, to really bring institutional grade services to more users, to a broader range of users globally.
Yeah. And as I was poking through that app, I mean, I really do think people are going to love it. It is so I mean, it's super user friendly, and you get really, you know, you get customized different investment products. And you get these, you know, like up to 16% APR essentially. And so why would you go hold your money in a bank where you get 0.002% yield on your cash? And, you know, if you put it in a high, whatever, high yielding savings account, you might get 0.5 or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. I moved all of my money from Marcus into dollar staple coins to put it on Amber because, you know, that's just a nice yield pickup. And we're able to offer that because of the structural yield pickup opportunities in crypto and the digital assets world. Right. So I think, you know, the market is still new. Not a lot of people are participating in it. So, you know, we really have this, you know, this room.
And as someone like yourself who has just such a deep familiarity with, you know, structured FX products and interest rates and stuff, tell me a little bit, you know, about how, you know, because people think, oh, 16% on my money, there must be some scheme going on, but it's a very honest, normal 16%. But tell us about how that interest is generated.
Yeah, sure. Well, first of all, the 16% is more of an intro offer for new users only. And then I think our regular rates, and you can see on the app, it's kind of like, yield curve. So it, for, you know, one day it's 3%, but if you lock up for a year, then it's 11% annualized.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So we really want to give users the flexibility to pick, you know, the maturity, the tenor that works best for them, right? You know, if you need to use your capital within 20 days, and right, you can flexible, you can pick whatever flexible dates. And behind that, right, the in terms of, you know, how we generate the yield, really comes from a few things. Like first, we do borrow lending to other with other institutional players. So, you know, there is the yield opportunities there. And then also there, we do have, you know, still have a really stellar quant trading team. And we usually run, or we mostly run market neutral strategy. So really different arbitrage opportunities like spot futures, basis, trades, et cetera, especially in the bull market, right? That could, if you look at where spot and futures are trading, the basis there could easily be 20 or 30% annualized. So that's also a way for us to generate yields, but, you know, mostly playing in the basis trades, just because, you know, we're market neutral and we're not long or short any crypto ourselves. So, you know, it is a more conservative way to generate yields. You might see other quant shops probably boasting, oh, like 100% yields in a bull market, sure, but look at, you know, how they performed in a more of a bear market environment. So, but for us, right, like really the 3 to 11% annualized rate is our cost of capital that we are willing, you know, to lend from our users essentially. And you can think of it as like you're, you know, lending to Amber and we promise to pay you back principal and interest upon maturity.
That's fascinating. And for folks who might be thinking, well, the basis trade, I've never heard of it. And I'll try and give a 101 here and correct me if I'm wrong. I don't want to confuse anybody. But for instance, if you're holding a Bitcoin, right, and it's 30,000 bucks or whatever the price is, but there could be a futures contract that's trading maybe at 32,000 bucks. And so there's a spread there, or there, and that would be called contango, right? Something like that. And then you'd be able to, you know, sell the future and buy the spot, or buy the spot and sell the future, and basically be able to capture the difference between a contract in the future and the spot at the present. Is that kind of the idea?
Correct. So, you know, a lot of the trades that people do is, you know, buy spots and then sell futures, which is currently trading at a premium. So you capture that, right? But, you know, in terms of your actual Bitcoin exposure, it's flat because, you know, you bought and you sold. So, you know, from a risk management perspective, you don't have any delta to Bitcoin, but, you know, you capture that spread in between. Wow. And, you know, it's common even in FX land, right? There is different forwards and futures trading at difference. That's largely driven by the interest rate difference between the two currencies. So here it's more in crypto, it's kind of more supply and demand and market sentiment driven. So in a bull market, you can really see, like I said, right, 20 to 30% annualized difference there.
Wow. So would you say that that basis is a good indicator of some sort of like underlying market structure? Like, is there some like baseline statement you could make, like when the basis is high, the market's more volatile, or when the basis is low, like it's a bad time to be buying? Like anything, any like general statements like that?
I would say just from like, I guess, historical data that we've seen, right? There, the basis is somewhat correlated to just spot itself, because, you know, in a bull market, there are more people who want to put up leverage. So instead of buying spot, you know, which offers no leverage at all, they will choose to go long on futures with futures instead. And that will drive up the futures price. And then, you know, when you do like a perpetual swap, right, there is the funding rate. With more people looking to long or to buy Bitcoin, and the funding rate increases as well. So those are all, you know, correlated in terms of how, I guess, how many people in the market is bullish on Bitcoin.
Yeah, it could kind of show you like if the funding rate of something's really high and sustained at a high time, it means the longs are paying the shorts to be long. And so it might not be the best time to get in or something like that. But what's interesting is that do perpetual swaps like don't exist in the traditional world, right? They're very exclusive to cryptocurrencies, right? Why?
Yeah, I think because I think in the traditional take FXX example, right? A lot of the trades are done OTC or bilaterally. So it's more often that we trade on a forward contract. So futures are basically standard listed dates, right? So usually you have expiries on every quarter end or every month end, but a forward, it could be just be any date. And that's, you know, what we see more often in traditional FX. But I think in crypto, because it, you know, especially back in the days, a lot of speculators in the market. And then I think they started with the very similar kind of futures, right? And then we keep shortening the maturity from maybe like a month or a week to a day. And then people maybe want to trade intraday. And that's why I think BitMEX pioneered the perpetual swap, where it's essentially you'll just pay funding every 8 hours, but you'll just have this position
perpetually,
perpetuity, right? In perpetuity. So I think that just very crypto native way for people to put on more leverage and
Very interesting. Yeah, I never really knew that history. So that's cool. The other thing I really wanted to get your insight, because it's not very often that I get to meet and speak with folks on the other side of the world. And, you know, I'm very privy to a lot of the things that are going on the institutional side here in America, the inflows and the products and stuff, and also like the inning of like how much adoption has come. But like, I have no clue. Like, is China quicker to adopt on like an institutional, like bank level? Are they like way slower? Like, what's kind of the flows right now?
I would say at least the institutional flow that we've seen from last year, end of last year to now, right? It's mostly US driven with MicroStrategy and Square and all of the high profile people coming out, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that to a large extent boosted confidence and credibility of crypto to a lot of maybe retail investors in the States. And obviously everyone in Asia is paying attention to the field as well. But I think in Asia, I think the more progressive regions for crypto are probably Singapore and Hong Kong. In Singapore, we're seeing the Singapore Exchange and the banks like DBS really making moves. Even in Japan, right, I think Nomura actually has done quite a bit in crypto also. But I think in China, just because of the regulation here, I think in China, people are more focused on using blockchain technology, maybe in other like supply chain management, et cetera, but less so on crypto finance. And we see more of that in Singapore and Hong Kong of the likes and in Korea.
Perfect. And that's actually a perfect segue to my last question. And my last question was a little bit more future oriented. And it was kind of about exactly what you were saying, like beyond DeFi, right? What within the next 2 years, let's call it, what do you think is going to be the next killer app or next really big sector of blockchain and cryptocurrency movement?
Well, that's a good question. I think just with the speed of innovation in space, I think maybe it's something that we haven't even seen or thought about today.
The undiscovered.
The unknown. But I do think that with a lot of institutional adoption that we've seen this year, right, and I think that it's going to be a lot more retail demand for people just to be able to be a part of crypto finance. It shouldn't just be the small community like it was before, right?
It's just
we want to open it up. And that's why I do think applications that are working on bringing crypto finance to more users, and crypto finance itself is really evolving. Right now we see maybe Bitcoin, Ethereum, and digital dollar, so to speak, right? But then who knows, right? We might see more assets on chain and we need something that's evolving with the space as well. Yeah. And I think that's where, that's what we thrive to be, right? We build the Amber app, and it's just AmberApp 1.0. We want to keep iterating and adopting to industry trend as well to offer other services that are relevant to our users. And, you know, maybe right now we're focusing on just educating the broader market on what is Bitcoin and how should you buy and how should you safely secure and store and earn yield on it. And then maybe eventually will become, right, how do you have, you know, now you have it as more of a digital wallet and what
other digital assets, right? The digital stocks and digitized bonds and all sorts of stuff. I mean, I love what you said is like the future is consumer apps in evolving with the market as the market evolves, right? Like no sense in trying to forecast like, you know, way out in the future, just like follow the customer, be where the customer is and you're going to do right. I love it.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, that's the exciting part about being in crypto finance and being in this field is just because there's so much innovation and it's a great opportunity for everybody to learn and to, you know, keep building better and better products. And it's just so many possibilities.
Yeah. Well, Annabelle, I really, really appreciated you getting to spend 30 minutes today with me and learning about all the really exciting stuff. So folks who are watching at home, I highly encourage you to do the following. Go to ambergroup.io and just check it out. Or you could download the app on your iPhone or your Android. It's really phenomenal. It might even change your life. And so I hope that you guys really, really get to get your hands on that because it's a really sleek app. Annabelle, thanks for joining us.
Of course. Thank you.
Talk to you soon.